I'm Earlonne Woods.
I'm Nigel Poor. We're the hosts and creators of Ear Hustle from PRX's Radiotopia.
Ear Hustle is a show about life inside prison, but it's not your typical prison podcast.
In this next season, we've got stories about the objects people keep inside their prison cells.
About residents in a women's prison who say they want to stay there.
And the most beautiful prison garden. Earlonne, I will never forget it.
Ear Hustle. Stories about life on the inside, told by those who live it.
Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts.
You love free, and at Ameris Bank, so do we. That's why we're proud to offer worry-free, hassle-free Ameris Bank free checking. Manage your money your way with convenient access to digital, mobile, and telephone banking, all with no monthly service fee or minimum balance requirements. At Ameris Bank, we're with you. For more information or to open an account, visit our local bankers in person or online at amerisbank.com/free checking. Other fees such as overdraft fees may apply. Ameris Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
For Wednesday, November the 3rd, 2021, it's The Brief from WABE. I'm Jim Burris. A dispute over whether black people were stricken from the jury pool because of their race. That has disrupted seating a final jury in the trial over the killing of Ahmaud Arbery. Attorneys narrowed a pool of 48 people to 12 final jurors today. But minutes after they did, a prosecutor representing the Arbery family announced that only one of those 12 jurors was black. The rest were white. She's challenged defense attorneys' decision to eliminate 8 black panelists from the jury pool, saying those decisions were based on race. An attorney for defendant Greg McMichael denied race was considered, saying those jurors showed bias in their answers to attorneys' questions over the past 2 weeks. Judge Timothy Walmsley has yet to rule. Governor Brian Kemp continues to push back on the Biden administration's COVID-19 vaccine mandates. He's joined with Georgia officials and other states in a lawsuit looking to block one of the vaccine requirements. WABE's Sam Whitehead reports.
The suit, filed in federal court last week, takes aim at the Biden administration's mandate that U.S. government contractors get vaccinated by December 8th. Kemp says it could affect thousands in the state.
Georgians have stepped up to the plate and have been part of the solution in getting past the worst of this virus. They didn't do that because of any government mandate.
Georgia has consistently had one of the lowest vaccination rates in the country. Just 50% of residents are fully vaccinated. Biden administration officials have said the December 8th deadline is not a cliff, and contractors will have some flexibility on how they enforce the mandate. Sam Whitehead, WABE News.
Fulton County Elections Director Richard Barron is resigning from his post at the end of the year. Barron came under intense scrutiny following the 2020 election cycle. Fulton County Commission Chair Rob Pitts praised Barron's 8-year tenure with the county, but he says the events of the past year likely factored into Barron's decision to leave.
To be under that kind of pressure, that kind of scrutiny for that long will wear on anybody. When you have the former president of the United States and his minions, Secretary of State and his minions, daily blasting you, it takes a toll on you after a while.
Earlier this year, the Board of Elections voted to fire Barron, but the dismissal was not upheld by the county commission. And today's announcement comes one day after municipal elections that saw no major issues or lines at polling places. Well, voters cast ballots for all 9 Atlanta school board seats yesterday. Martha Dalton reports it's the last time every seat will be up for election at the same time.
Atlanta will stagger its school board races from now on. That means board members in odd-numbered districts will be up for re-election in 2 years. Members in even-numbered districts will serve a 4-year term. It was a good night for incumbents Jason Estevez, Ishe Collins, Erica Mitchell, and Cynthia Briscoe-Brown, who's also on Public Broadcasting Atlanta's board. The 4 candidates soundly beat challengers to keep their seats. District 3 rep Michelle Olympiadis will keep hers, too. She ran unopposed. Incumbent Aretta Baldwin will face opponent Keisha Carey in a runoff for District 2. Tamara Jones and Kenesha Venning are also headed to a runoff for an open seat in District 7. Newcomers Katie Howard and Jennifer McDonald won open seats in Districts 1 and 4, respectively. Martha Dalton, WABE News.
And the Atlanta Board of Education holds WABE's broadcast license.
In other election news, it looks like Felicia Moore and Andre Dickens will likely go to a runoff on the 30th, although Kasim Reed is behind by some 600 votes and has not conceded. Lawmakers are meeting at the state capitol to redraw Georgia's legislative and congressional lines based on the 2020 census. Raul Bali reports the diversifying face of Georgia is playing a key role.
Republican House Speaker David Ralston says even though his party holds the majority, it still faces challenges.
I think it's no secret that Republicans are stronger in rural Georgia than perhaps they are in metro areas, and so that's where much of the population loss has occurred. That means that, you know, some of our Republican colleagues may end up getting left behind, and that's a tough part of this thing.
Democratic State Representative Terry Anulowitz of Smyrna says those population shifts are an opportunity for Democrats in places like Cobb County.
Looking at these maps, I see opportunities for two district pickups, one sort of in between East Cobb and Smyrna, the Cumberland area, and one of up north near Kennesaw. And 5 years ago, if you had told me that we were going to be talking about a Democratic pickup in a new district in the Kennesaw area, I would probably not have believed you.
Despite population gains in Democratic areas, Republicans control the legislature and are likely to draw maps in the coming weeks to keep their party in power for the next few years. Raul Bali, WABE News.
Well, there was at least one contest last night that will not go into a runoff. The official tally was 7-0. No recounts, no disputes. The Atlanta Braves are the World Series champions. It's been a long wait for the team that last won it all back in 1995. That's when the average new car price was a smidge more than $15,000, and the Dow Jones average topped a whopping $5,000 for the first time ever. This morning on NPR's Morning Edition, host Steve Inskeep spoke with our own Emil Moffitt about that sweet, sweet victory.
Good morning, Emil.
Morning, Steve.
And of course, you'll be telling the story straight. You're a journalist. You can overcome your personal biases. But nevertheless, you were one of the Braves fans in the stadium watching on a Jumbotron in Atlanta. Is that right?
That's right. It was a big party. There were fans in the stands. There were some sitting on the outfield grass just watching the game from Houston. And it was pretty much all Braves last night, as you mentioned. And Atlanta sports fans really breathed a huge sigh of relief with the win. The Braves went to all those World Series, you may recall, in the 1990s, but only came away with one title. And they hadn't won one since then. And that's what made this championship special for season ticket holder Jay Brown.
I guess, you know, it'll break the stigma of our city as being a city where championships, the potential of championships, go to die.
And the Braves were really not the favorites in this series, and the playoffs especially, because they played mediocre baseball for much of the season. And Kendall Exides admitted she lost hope at certain points of the season.
Oh, my gosh, of course. I mean, we weren't ever getting above 500 and all the injuries, so it's been a miracle, but well-deserved.
Well, how did that miracle happen, Emil? Because if I think about the Atlanta Braves this year compared to those teams of the 90s, they didn't have a ton of stars. Nobody expected them to win the World Series. They didn't start out, as you said, bound for the World Series. How did it happen?
Yeah, they didn't have a winning record until early August, but then they end up winning their division. They beat the Brewers and the Dodgers to make it to the World Series. And the key was some really important midseason trades to really rebuild their outfield, including the World Series MVP Jorge Soler, and their relief pitching was really a strong point for the team in the playoffs.
Isn't there inevitably some politics behind this particular World Series because of the teams that were involved, because of the locations, because of a particular team name?
Yes, of course. The Houston Astros were trying to redeem themselves in this World Series after that sign-stealing scandal that tainted their 2017 World Series title. That led to the firing of the GM and the manager, but several star players were still with the team on this year's club. And Atlanta, of course, has its own issues. The Braves have been under pressure for decades to change the team name and stop the tomahawk chop, which came back into the spotlight on TV and at games this year. And the team has done outreach to a tribal community in the region, scaled back some of the use of Native American imagery, but has resisted calls to do more. And of course, you'll remember Major League Baseball took the All-Star game away from Atlanta to protest the state's new restrictive voting law.
Yeah.
And on top of that, the team's most famous player, slugger Hank Aaron, died back in January at the age of 86. So they kind of won this title for him.
Okay. Emil, thanks so much. Really appreciate it.
You bet, Steve.
Emil Moffitt of member station WABE in Atlanta. The Atlanta Braves are the World Series champions.
It's a nice way to end the brief. You can find more local news at WABE.org. Lily Oppenheimer produced today's program, and Martha Dalton is our editor. I'm Jim Burris. Thanks for listening.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.
Local, state, national politics. WABE and NPR have the coverage you need. I'm Jim Burris, host of WABE's All Things Considered. Whether it's on the air at 90.1, streaming online, or connecting through our mobile app, WABE keeps you on top of election 2024 in what's sure to be a pivotal year in politics. And for candidates and ballot information, visit our election hub at wabe.org/election2024.